Well, we started in a race and we've just gotta finish. We can't afford to take a break right now.
want to get up and magnify the name of the Lord and appreciate what I felt today in that service and those great words as Brother Smith was giving forth the word. I was thinking about some of the things that he had talked about, specifically when he went back and was mentioning about that the woman that was reaching through and pushing through the crowd and, you know, explaining a little bit more about the train, about that skirt. And I was thinking of, if I remember correctly, correct me if I am wrong on this, but that issue of blood related to potentially her being barren. Is that right? And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, Lord, help me, Lord, not to be barren tonight. Help me, Lord, if I'm not feeling fruitful in my spirit, if I'm not producing those fruit that I need to in my life, the fruit of the Spirit, God, let me reach out today. Let me touch the hem of His garment. Let me feel Him. Let me get a little closer to Him so that I can have that power from on high, so that I can have that cleansing, so that I can have that coal of purification to cleanse myself, to burn those impurities out of me. God, grant that, Lord. I want that closer walk with Him. You know, we are on a journey. We're moving day by day, and what I want to think of, though, is I'm not just moving for moving's sake. I'm not just walking around without a specific path, but it's what God is showing me. It's what He is. It's His direction. It's His way. I want to make sure I'm following the ministry as they follow Christ, Sister Inez. That's what I want in my heart. And so I just I wanted to get up here. I was thinking about, you know, this is just the way my crazy mind works, but I was thinking about, you know, we're out there, got a little warm, you know, dancing in the suit and everything, and I'm thinking, well, you know what? That's all right. This is the Holy Ghost workout. Let me burn a few calories for Christ. Let me get a little bit closer to Him. Let me shed some of that flesh off. Let me let it suffer a little bit. Let's go into the sauna of perfection, Brother Paul. Let's see if we can't get one more step closer to Him. And I just wanted to get up and just say how thankful I am for being in this place, for being a part of the body of Christ. You know, I really did appreciate those things as Brother Smith was bringing that forth today. It was feeding my soul. I was thinking what came to my mind when those songs were going forth was about Solomon, whenever he was dedicating the temple, and how the Spirit of God came in that temple, and they couldn't stand it. You know, everyone had to get out of there because the Spirit was so strong. And I was thinking about that in putting it in that the perspective of, you know, God wants, you know, what is the temple today? Where is He wanting to take up residence? He's wanting to take residence in you and me. That's where He's wanting. And I want that Spirit to come in, Brother Talley, in such a measure that it can't be contained and that it is flowing outward and that those people around me, that my life is affecting them, that my life is affecting you. I want to be effective today in my calling. I want to be able to lift my hands and say, you know what? This is my life. This is what I live for. This is my people. This is my life. This is the vision that I've been given today. And I was thinking about going back to youth service when Brother Zach had mentioned about, or no, it wasn't a youth service. It was a regular service when he was talking about intermingling and going around and becoming, or mingling our spirits with the other brothers and sisters of the body of Christ. And then Brother Smith had talked about it today as well. And I was just thinking about that as far as really getting a better idea of that vision, of seeing the whole plan. You know, sometimes I can get really narrow-minded and I can see my part right here. And I just get so focused on that I lose sight of the bigger picture. I lose sight of really what's going on. But whenever I can step back, when God says, no, son, here is my grand plan. And I see, you know, it's humbling and it's a blessing all in the same. Because when I look at the grand scheme of it, I think, God, the great God of heaven, the creator of the universe, look at His plan. But look at that. He gave me a chance to be a part of it. I just want to lift my hands up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for calling me. Thank you, Lord, for calling you. If you're in this, if you're in my earshot right now, and right now the way I speak, that could be all the way out to Colonel Glenn. But if you are hearing me today, God has that in store for you. He has called you to the body of Christ. He has called you to this perfect overcoming message, to be a part of the bride, His ruling and reigning class, to reign for 1,000 years. And you know what? Let's not stop there. That's just what the book gives us a little bit of insight into. It doesn't stop after the 1,000 years.
That's right.
It goes on into the ceaseless ages where there is no more time. As Sister Kinsinger, a blessed saint, used to say, world without end.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. And whenever you put that in perspective, what does this life have to offer? Filthy rags. Yeah. Nothing compared to the glory that God has in store for each and every one of us. So I just wanted to get up here and after that, and I tell you that song, if you want, I'm just letting you know, if you want to get me fired up without caffeine, somebody prayed for me. Let me tell you, that song touches my heart because it is my testimony. It's part of it. I can't run from it. I don't want to hide it. I don't want to magnify it, but I want it just to have its perfect work in my life, that I was that prodigal son, that I was that one that took his inheritance, took it, got out of here. And then when I found myself amongst the swine, when I found myself eating the husk and realizing that the servants in my father's house were better off than I was, thank the Lord that there were people here. Sister Crow, you were faithful working that road still. You were still walking down that path, and I could come and still receive those blessings. Come back through that door and feel the arms of God open wide and say, son, I'm killing the fatted calf for you today, son. Here's the robe. Here's that ring on your finger. Hallelujah. And bless the Lord. I appreciate what he's done for me in my life. I appreciate how he's helped to lift me out of that mire and clay. And thankfully, we have that understanding of, we don't just know, but we have that understanding of, it's not just, that was that one experience. And I have to just go back to that one experience. But it's that day by day, building upon building upon building, that walk with him, that I can ever grow stronger until I do reach that maturity, until I reach that perfection in him. And that's my goal here today. I want to strive a little bit more. I want to press through that flesh, Sister Donna. I want to get one more step closer to him because I want to please my Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Ellen, these folks back here earlier, I said, y'all pray hard for those doctors that are going to do Operation Friday on me. I said, because I don't want to, go in under the anesthesia, not wake up. I'm not ready to go. I got a lot of working. He said, oh, no, he knows you're not ready. You got a long ways to go. And I know I do. And I want to, tell the Lord, and I keep praying, Lord, the dead can't praise you, so, give me some more years and let me do what I can. I mean, right now, I want to go and jump and dance and do everything. And he knows, God knows my heart, that I want to praise him as hard as I can. Well, as soon as I get my new knees, I mean, watch out. Here I come. Brother, Sister Smith done said, hey, we're going to be partners. So, yeah, I'm going to be out there. I mean, I used to be. And a lot of people know me. I was a wild person out there. Me and Sister Ann used to be pretty wild out there, but it was in the spirit in a good way. But I too want to go forward and not sit down and not appreciate where I'm at. I appreciate that I get to come. I don't have to come. I get to come. And I, Brother Smith was saying today about human nature, we're tired, we don't want to come. But did you know, yes, Brother Smith, at one time years ago I had that problem, and maybe I have overcame, because I don't even think anymore about it. Even if I'm tired, I don't say, oh, I want to stay home. I did. I'm not going to lie. I did used to say that, but I haven't, at least the last, three or four years. I don't even think about, being tired as far as me staying home, because every time that I make that effort to come, God blesses me and touches. Now, I'm not talking about just, woo, that kind of blessing, but like he, I hear something that I wouldn't have been able to heard if I was at home. And so I've always stayed true to my word that the only way that you're going to see me home is if I'm like, can't get out of bed, I'm dying or something. And, I had fever the last three, Wednesday and two Sundays, two services on Sunday. And I had a high fever. And so I know that in the past there's been people that came to church with fever, but, people would not want to be around me if I came, because, hey, stay away from me. I don't want to get what you got. So, I respect that. I don't want to, contaminate anybody. But anyway, I guess God knew I needed the rest, too. And because I know that I'm in for 3 months of very intensive therapy, I hear. But I don't look at that as negative. I look at that as, yay. After that, it's a a positive road all the way, because I will be able to do more than what I can do now. I can do more than what I'm doing now. And I want to, you know, put out a plea to you people that need me, because I feel I want to be needed. I want to serve God's people. And all the elders that I've helped, you know, they're all gone, and I don't have nobody to take care of right now. So, I mean, in that way, and I have that need. I've always had that need. So, you know, I done gave my plea to Sister Smith, not for her, but, you know, for Grandma Bonnie, if she ever needs me, that I'm there to help out. And not just that, I'm anybody. If y'all need me, you know, like I've been missing out on taking care of the twins for Sister Reva, you know, because so much has been going on ever since Grandma died. And so I just want to do more, because I know that the more you do for God's people, you're doing it for God. And anyway, I don't want to get off the track. I mean, I just want to, you know, I wanted to follow in the same path that Philip was saying. And I was just thinking when he brought to my attention about when he was out, the prodigal son, I remember so well that I was like, you know, one of those mothers that was praying so hard. And he comes home one day with blonde hair and an earring on. And I was like, oh, my God, Philip, are you gay? Are you on drugs? I mean, oh, my God, that really grabbed my heart. And he goes, Mom, no, I'm not on drugs. I'm not gay. And because he had always told me that he would never, you know, pierce his ear, and he would never this, that, blah, blah, blah. And so I, you know, brought that up to his attention. And I'm so, so thankful. So thankful that God saw, you know, I mean, I wasn't the only one that praying. I know a lot of people were praying. And I had to give up a lot to, you know, show God. He saw my heart, that I meant it, that I said, you know, I want to, you know, Lord, give him up. He's yours. I dedicated him to you years ago back, you know, when he was born. I said, but so I will serve you no matter what. If, you know, if the last time I see him would be, you know, in the casket I brought, I would still serve you no matter what. God knew that I was sincere, and within like less than a month, he brought him back, and he's been back since. And I don't want to forget that. I don't want to go back on my word on God, that I will serve him no matter whatever it takes. Because let me tell you, he's been testing me a lot. And back to when I was talking about Wednesday night about my trials out there with those people, let me tell you, I want to ask y'all, because I need y'all's help. Last night, as I was leaving Phillip's apartment, and I was coming in these two lanes, and I was coming, I was on the right lane, and this big old semi decides to get on my lane. So what do? I pushed the horn at him, but it didn't even face him, so I had to stop and back up some, because he kept on going. Okay, am I supposed to just stay there and say, oh, thank you, Lord, you know, he was going to kill me, but, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, I told Sister Lynette, you know, I didn't lose my spirit, like, I didn't, you know, say bad words or anything, but I was like, what are you doing? Oh, my God, you know. You know, so I don't know, you know, how would y'all react? You know, I want to be able to react right. You know, if somebody tries to kill me, and I want to be able to overcome this. I'm like, God, you're testing me so much, you know, on these drivers out here. And I want to overcome it so bad. So I guess he's going to keep doing it till I do. But I need some pointers, tips, you know, how y'all act, you know, if somebody tries to kill you in the road. But anyway, I just want to say I love the Lord, and I look forward to more, doing more for him, and exercising my praises for him, not just raising my arm, but, you know, in my testimony, and showing him gratitude for everything that he's done for me and continuously to do for me, even the trials and tests, you know, just bring them on, because that's what's making me stronger. And I just want to tell you guys to pray for me, you know, that, and I'll be able to withstand, or I don't know how to say the words. I know what I want to say, but I can't. Never say the right word, that I'll be able to take it, you know, the pain. Because I'm a person that I have a high tolerance. I mean, like, I'm in pain now, but, you know, I'm so used to it that I just go on. But they say this is like a different type of pain. So, and I think Brother Fred went through it, I can go through it. So I just want to thank everybody for your prayers, and I just love the Lord. I love each one of you, and I'm so thankful that God saw something in me to keep me here in the body of Christ.
conversation, but he was talking about the, people that when they've been along this way a long time, that you can get weary and tired, and maybe tired of the journey. But I'm thankful that so far that I have not got tired of this way. I get tired in my body, and of course I've got ailments, but I still want to go this way. It's very enticing to me. I appreciate this church, and I appreciate the teaching that we get. I think so many times when I see and hear other people that is less fortunate than we, the things that they say and the things that we're taught, not that I don't mean to throw off on anyone, but I just comparing the two, I appreciate what God has done for us and the teaching that we have, and that we're learning the things of God and the order of God, and how to come before the Lord and how to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I really appreciate the things of God. And I thought how that this is a new year. And I thought, Lord, I know I can't do a whole lot, but I can do something. I mean, I'm not gone yet. And I thought, I want to do what I can do. And I thought of the saying that our late President Kennedy said about what, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And, you know, we're always asking the Lord and telling Him what we need. And sometimes it's good to say, Lord, what can I do for you? Surely we can do something for Him. We can praise Him, and He likes praises. And I thought how that I can do my part, and I want to do more than I do, and I don't like to fall back on my ailments or anything like that, but I know that I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm not using that for an excuse, but I do see that I can do more. And I thought how that we have got something that's real, and it's something you don't find everywhere, because when we found this, we was looking for something better, right? And we found it. And I thought that when new people come in, they're hunting for something, or they wouldn't be here. And you'd be surprised at people nowadays that is so dissatisfied with situations that they're in. They're looking for something to console their selves and to enjoy. And there's people that's really looking for God. And I thought, Lord, we can do something. I don't mean put on, but I mean we can portray the Lord in such a way that will entice them to want what we have. And we do know that, I know when the minister come to our part of the country and brought us this wonderful gospel, they sang a song about this is the better way. And I thought, oh, Lord, it is such a wonderful way. And I appreciate it so much to know that the Lord has granted us the privilege to be in His plan, to help to build His kingdom, and to restore a church. And that's a wonderful thing, and I'm so happy. And I think about it a lot of times. Lord, I sometimes almost feel like that I'm dreaming, that I'm afraid that I'll wake up and find it that it's not true. But I so appreciate the things that God is doing for us, and I thought how that we can worship the Lord in a way that when people comes in, that they will be so caught up in this that they'll want what we got. And we want to, we know that we don't supposed to be putting on, but we're supposed to really reach up and touch the Lord. And then that way it will cause them to feel something, and they'll want what we have. And I thought that, and we was talking not long ago about, you was, Brother Smith, about getting new people in. I've asked a number of people, and if all the people that I've asked would come, we'd have a pretty good crowd, because I don't work in the public or anything like that, but when I go to the grocery store or anywhere I go and I meet up with someone, if they give me an inch, I'll take a mile, and I'll talk to them about the Lord. And I've had many wonderful conversations with people in the grocery stores, and they would forget that they come to shop, and we begin to talk, and they begin to feel something, I begin to feel something. And I thought, boy, I've really got them now. I know they'll be there, but they haven't come yet. But anyway, I planted the seed, so I'm hoping that some of them will come up. And I was talking to one gentleman, and we was in line for something, I don't know, but service line for something. Anyway, we was talking, and he said, well, lady, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what all you believe. I said, you sure made me know that you believe. Of course, I wasn't preaching to him. I wasn't telling him what all I believed. But I was making him know that it was wonderful. And I began to feel anointed. And I think he felt something too, because he said, you sure make me know you believe what you're talking about. I said, you better believe it. And so anyway, he's supposed to come sometime, but whether he ever does, I don't know. But anyway, I've been strewing the seed out there, so I hope that some of them comes up. But I thought how wonderful that I just reminisce sometime, and I think, Lord, how wonderful it be that we all this year can get to work and really work in the service and ask people to come and then come and show them, really worship the Lord and show them what we have and entice them, just like is a man in the Bible? Anyway, Paul was talking to him. And he said to Paul, said, you almost persuaded me to believe what you're believing. Put it like that. But anyway, so I just thought, Lord, I'm desiring to see new people come in. And two, I'm telling you something else I'm desiring to see some new babies born in here. I'd like to help somebody get the Holy Ghost, because I still do it. I still know it's half done. And I believe the Lord will give me strength to help some. And so I just have a vision of seeing new people come in, seeing us all shouting the glory and the victory. And I just think it's just a wonderful vision that we have. And so we want to other people to come and see what the Lord has given us. And so I thought today the service has been great and the Spirit has been great, and there's nothing better than feeling the great Spirit of God. I thought people that's on dope, if they only knew what we feel, they'd throw that stuff away and come a running, because we got something that's lasting. You don't have to shoot it up, run and get something to shoot up. It's just here all the time. Just apply yourself, and here it comes. So anyway, God is so real, and I hope that this year will be a great year for us, that we can get new people. And you know, new people inspire you, and they motivate you, and you want to divide with what you have to them. So I'm looking forward to a greater year this year, and the Lord will send new people. And I thank the Lord. Sometimes I ask the Lord, why, Lord? I know that I ask people, and I'm sure the rest of you folks do, but I wonder why they don't come. And I thought, well, Lord, maybe we're not ready for them yet. Maybe we're not doing our part enough. Maybe if we exercise in the Lord more and cause new people to come and to see what we have and cause them to want it, maybe they would. And so I've just had a lot of questions in my mind. But anyway, I know that the Lord has done it for us before, and he can do it again. I know that we've had people slayed on the floors many times, and new people. We have so many new people that Brother Tucker said one time, said, I don't even have time to whoop you kids. Well, he didn't mean that in a bad way. He just meant to really instruct us and all. But I thought, Lord, you've done it before. You can do it again. So anyway, I want to apply myself and to see greater things happen for the people of God. So I'm so thankful for what we have and for the teaching that we get. And Brother Smith, I appreciated that message today, and to know that we are directed in the right direction. And I'm thankful for that, because I know that a lot of people don't get that, and I so appreciate what the Lord has done for us. So I thank him so very much.
Certainly enjoyed this service today, and Also, Sister Wilkins' funeral, I thought was just absolutely wonderful and so appropriate for her. And just watching her family, you know, and like I mentioned Wednesday, you know, how God really dealt with me. I know I didn't say everything that was going on in my mind during her funeral, but, you know, I'd gotten married, this ungodly guy, and had kids and, you know, going through all the trouble in my life, but just to be in that service, that funeral of hers. And I remember I was telling Sister Weiniger that, you know, we had church service on Wednesday before the funeral was Thursday, the following day. And her request was to have service, you know, with her family. And it really hurt, you know, was touching me, you know, that there she was laying in her coffin, you know. And that's what it took for her to have all her family in church with her. And I told Sister Weiniger, I said, during that service on that Wednesday night, I could have ran down here in front and just dedicated my life to God. I mean, that's how, you know, it was affecting me. And I guess my dad could feel it. I was sitting by him, and he kept looking at me, telling me, you better behave. So anyway, I didn't do anything that like that. But, you know, just looking at her family and you know, just thinking about it, I think that that's really what funerals are for, you know. But thinking about Linda, talking about her trials and tests and those drivers out there, you're not the only one. Because let me tell you, and this happened, and I was thinking about your testimony because this was Thursday on my way to work. Okay, people cut in front of me all the time. Okay, go, you know. So, you know, I cut in front of this guy, and I'm telling you, I guess I made him so mad that when he got the chance, he got up in front of me and, like, put on his brakes, like, you know, like getting me back or whatever. And I'm like, well, you know, I really didn't feel like I did anything hateful or ugly to him or whatever. And so I'm just like, okay, well, you know, then I had to get on this lane anyway to get off. So, you know, he just went on and then got back in the other lane. Well, then on the way home, the same thing happened to me. I was going like in front of McCain, you know, the freeway that way, and it's only about 65 there, and I'm doing the speed limit. And this guy, I guess he got so mad at me, he decided to just go around me, and then he put on his brakes. And I'm just like, I was going the speed limit anyway. So, but you know what, Brother Smith, I do feel like I passed because I'm just like, I didn't get mad or whatever. I'm like, well, you know, I'm really sorry if I offended you, you know. What else can you do? And let him go on. But anyway, and Sister, really what I got up to say was Sister Crow, her testimony about new ones coming in. And I remember I had a dream, and it's been a while ago, and it was so incredible because all these babies were coming in the foyer, and we were chasing after them because they had really bad muddy feet, and we were trying to clean off their feet. And it was like we had a beautiful hardwood floor in the foyer, and I remember thinking in that dream, why did we have hardwood floors in the foyer? Because we have tile. But look at y'all, we have hardwood floor now. But anyway, it was a wonderful dream with all these babies running in. If you could just see the glops of mud, and you're wondering, wow, those are some real dirty feet. But anyway, I praise God so much for his goodness and his mercy and his blessing on my life, touching me, giving me the knowledge that I know I don't have it all. But I'm so thankful for everything that I do have in just this life, and that he's given all of y'all to me. And Brother Smith, I've been picking up on what you've been saying lately about serving in your generation and your time. And I want to do all that I can do to serve God in my generation and do my part to uphold God and his word in this church. And I'm just so thankful.
to say what I've been thinking about a long time. It's something that really affected me when I was young. I don't know anybody that had a more difficult time getting the Holy Ghost than I did. I wouldn't want to tell you all the things I went through. It'd take a couple hours or more. But if it helps, I grew up in this body before I knew what it was. And I can recall in about 6 years old or something like that, us children going to the altar and seeking the Holy Ghost. And I recall myself there praying and seeking with all the rest of them. And one by one, maybe one Sunday night after the nether, there'd be other young people getting the Holy Ghost. And we had a tradition that where all the young people, all of them, the youngest to the oldest in the teens, would get up and line up across the top, and we'd sing together. After we sang a song, well, we'd each one have to say a little testimony. And it was really interesting because the older ones would give a fairly simple testimony depending on their age and maturity. But we'd get down to the littlest ones, and it'd be the most fun to listen to their made-up testimonies. There was a lot of "I love Jesus," you know, little ones with the little ones. But they got used to doing that. And as we growed up, it wasn't uncommon for us to get up and talk, say something as that. I had one, "Jesus loves me, this I know." That's one of the first ones I believe I said. But nevertheless, as I grew up, all those young people got the Holy Ghost, and I didn't get it. And when it got to where they all had it, especially my younger brother, when he got it, I really felt bad because all my family had it and I didn't. And this went on, and that's just a very small portion, but I want you to know all that time, I'll jump a big jump over a lot of trouble I went through and discouragements and problems that I caused and some of the things that I was affected by other people by. And I'm talking about in seeking the Holy Ghost, difficulty in seeking the Holy Ghost. But I had a lot of people trying to help me. I want to say this, that this is probably common to all of us. One of the most difficult things I had, I didn't know what it was at that time, but it was pride. Just as a young boy, you may not realize it, for even young children are ashamed or afraid to get up and cry just because you said, "Jesus, help me. Lord, give me the Holy Ghost." It's hard to say that. And when somebody wants to help you to get the Holy Ghost, they might ask you to say Jesus. The thing it does for you is gets your mind on Jesus. Whatever you think will affect how you feel. And if you ask Jesus to help you get the Holy Ghost, that's good. You might try it. Somebody will come around and tell you, if it's your first time at the altar seeking the Holy Ghost or something, they might ask you, the first thing you need to do is admit you're a sinner and to ask God to forgive you of all your sins and then help you to overcome them. That's what God wants out of us. He wants to give us the Holy Ghost. We seek it. The scripture said, "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open." That's what Jesus said. It's a promise to you, but you've got to go after it. You've got to want it. And so you might get to where you want it, but you want it your way. You don't know it, but when you get older and understand this, you might remember something I said. I don't know. But I had this problem. For one thing, when I went to the altar, the first thing I started doing was crying. And when I started saying, Jesus, help me, I sought the Lord, and somebody come around to help me and tell me what I could say and pray for me and whatever. I would just try with all my might. I even faked speaking in tongues. I knew it, but somebody said, say it. Somebody told me one time to say, Hikamai. Hikamai, Hikamai, Hikamai. I did just what you did. I laughed. And then I tried it. I was obedient. I tried it. But I felt like a fool doing it because other people were laughing with me. And you go through all kinds of things. And as I got up into my teens, I got interested in girls. That distracted me a whole lot. I had my mind somewhere else. But when I got a little serious about it, or I got somebody talked to my girlfriend, made me mad. Got in a few fights over that. But I had to go repent of it. I got guilty about it. I had an understanding, and I felt guilty. A lot. I got in a lot of trouble in church just playing, getting people to laugh all around it. My dad would just torture me after that. But nevertheless, I'd get guilty, and I got to where I was so concerned, and I thought, I shouldn't even be going with a girl. I don't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody told me that. You leave these girls around here alone. You don't even have the Holy Ghost. You can't be trusted. I had some men that really reproved me. I needed it probably, but I didn't think it was fair. Had a little bitterness about that. Threw snowballs at them. Well, there's a lot of humor in it, of course, but this is what I went through. Some of those things, I will never tell you all of it. But anyway... When I got in the Air Force, and I was so much in love with Joyce that we were too young to get married, and I decided I can't stand this anymore, and I need to do something. I needed a better job. I was working with my father. He wanted me to take over his business, but I didn't. I was more interested in electronics, so I wound up joining the Air Force. I took some tests, and they said that's what I best qualified for. So I went in, and about a year later, I was writing to Joyce, and she was writing to me, and the things that were going on let me know. I knew some other boys were flirting with her, and I was a little bit jealous, and not a little bit, but I was going to stop that. I made a chance to get home on leave one weekend, and I looked all weekend for that boy that was flirting with her. I saw him looking around the corner one time. I happened to be in my uniform. That's all I had that time. Well, he stayed out of my sight long enough for me to have to go back away. I never did get a hold of him. I was a pretty ornery little boy. I'd fight for anything just about, especially my girlfriend. Anyway, I got so jealous, I went home about after the first year, after I was out of school, and I asked Brother Tucker if I could marry her. And so we got married. She wound up coming down to the base and living there with me. And during that time, I was out of church. And so with her, I made it a point to try to find a church. And so we found a church and went there several Sundays in a row. And then we saw this is is not doing us any good. It's just so far different from what we were used to. And we tried another place or two and gave up. But I felt a need I really had a spiritual mind, was a fear of God. I wanted the Holy Ghost. And I just jumped up to when I got home after we got out of the Air Force. Then I really felt a need. I had two children then, and I really felt the need to get the Holy Ghost and keep our family in church. Well, I guess we went from Brother Jolly's church to, I think, three other ministers that kept another little church going there until the one Brother Bradley Miller has there in St. Louis. We were in that church for quite a while. And I sought there. There was one little boy that come occasionally that sought the Holy Ghost sometimes on Sunday night. But almost every Sunday night, they'd make an altar call, and I'd go for several times. I don't know how long I did, but I remember the first place we were in, Brother Frank Hetzel. No, Brother Frank. Help me, Joyce. Peach, Brother Frank Peach, the Peach Brothers' father, was our pastor until he died. And I remember they tried so hard to get me through the Holy Ghost. There was only about a dozen of us in that little room, and that a group, one of the small groups that started after the church split in 65, if some of you know about that. Anyway, I was desperate, and I sought hard. And Brother Frank and his wife worked so hard to pray me through the Holy Ghost until I got ashamed of myself. I couldn't just keep it up. Well, the church grew, and we moved into another location, and Brother Frank Peach died, and a couple of other pastors went through it, a change in it, and finally Brother Brother Miller took over the church, and he liked me, and he tried to help me. And I sought the Holy Ghost. I got very busy and faithful there in the church. I built in a PA system and a recording system, and I run that. And I sought the Holy Ghost quite a while, and he kept trying to help me. He encouraged me every way he could. He'd take me out for pizza, and we'd talk, made good friendship. He wanted me to get on the platform with him, to work with him, but he wanted me to get the Holy Ghost first. So that inspired me somewhat, and I tried and tried and tried. Then I gave up, and I don't know how long it was that I hesitated and waited, even when they was making an altar call, and I just said no, I couldn't. I'd hold my head down. One night they had, one weekend they had, this is when I got the Holy Ghost. It was a three-day meeting, fellowship meeting in the local area. And we filled the little place up, and Brother Frank Hetzel was there, a guest speaker there. And if any of you know him, he's the man that wrote so many poems, a whole book of them. Some of you may have a book of it. And he really was a wonderful preacher, especially an exhorter or evangelist. That's right. Really good. And through those 3 days and nights, I held back with so much guilt. I wanted the Holy Ghost, but I was afraid to go. I was afraid it'd be the same old thing. And the longer that went till the last, I remember I don't know how this affected me, but during that meeting, I was sitting in the back operating the recorder and watching the entrance. Was a little door on the side enclosure where we hung our coats when we come in. And I believe this was in the winter time, because I remember all them coats hanging up over there. While we were there, I noticed in the side of my, you know, I looked over and somebody was in there, and I thought, well, come on in, you know. But they didn't come in. They left. After the service, we found out they took several people's coats. I felt so bad that I didn't check on that when I found it out. But that night, when the meeting began to come to an end, Brother Hetzel began to preach for me to come down there. There was that one boy that was there that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And there was no doubt on me, and I just had all that weight on me, and he just kept on trying, and people were, especially my uncle and my aunt, was looking around, and that caused everybody else to look back at me. So I held my head down. I'm not paying attention. That's what I wanted them to think. I hope I'm not taking too much time, but I want some of you people who don't have the Holy Ghost, learn from my mistakes. And hopefully something I'm saying will help you to take courage, to press on, to save your life. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. You're here. You want to be right. You want to get saved. You're going to have to break down. Let's be frank about it. It's just simple pride. We're proud. It hurts your pride to be standing with people around you looking at you crying and spitting all over your face and slobbering and nose running and so on and so forth, and other people wiping your nose. And other people will say the funniest things or the craziest things when you're trying to get the Holy Ghost. I hope I'm not scaring you worse. Some people did me. Here's what Brother the poet, Brother Hetzel, he just kept working on me. And those people were getting tired. It was late. It's time to dismiss. I got so guilty, so humbled. I said, Lord, if I know I need the Holy Ghost, I'm going to do it one more time. And I kept going like that, and I just couldn't get myself out of that seat. I think he noticed. And I just kept sitting the longest time. And you know what he said? They started a song and made the invitation. And I just waited. You know what he started saying? It messed me up. I was getting so serious. I was just about to go. And he said, put your parasol down. Get your parasol down. Get your parasol down. Well, y'all know what a parasol is. It's a woman's umbrella. I said, I know he's talking about me, but I don't have any parasol. I'll tell you that. Well, that just set me back. Well, and I recognized what I was doing. I'd been taught enough to know that I was resisting the very thing I needed. Anybody ever remember Brother Tucker saying, you're afraid of the very thing you need? And he said that's what the farmer said to his cow that wouldn't eat the hay. You're afraid of the very thing you need to be full of, is what he said. And that's some something was said. My uncle was looking at me. Come on, come on, come on. And I held back for there a while, and then I realized what I was doing. Just, I'm letting that little thing keep me from getting the Holy Ghost. Well, I want it. What am I doing? Up I got, and down I went with my head down, ashamed of myself. You know, it was 2 hours later before I got to speaking in tongues. They worked on me and prayed for me, and by the end of by the time I got the Holy Ghost, most of the people were gone, but there was probably a dozen people left there that was praying with me. I'm going to tell you, as briefly as I can, what went through my mind and what changed my attitude and my mind right there. I realized my predicament, my age, my life, my family, my condition, all that I'd been through. And I said, Lord, you know I want the Holy Ghost. Oh, I can't tell you all of that that it was hitting me there, but it's just a long story of things that I went over and all the things that hindered me from getting the Holy Ghost. There was things going on in my mind, guilt, a lot of guilt was in my mind, and I was repenting of every bit of it over and over and over, but I didn't know if God heard me. I didn't know if he would forgive me. I didn't know, but I had doubt. Doubt, remember, you got to believe. You got to believe God and Jesus is real. And what the Bible says they said is real. And if you repent, God will forgive you. Obviously, you got to be serious about it. I won't be playing, but I said, God, I want you to forgive me for everything. I want to live right. And I want the Holy Ghost so bad. And I got to thinking about it. Now, he hadn't given it to me yet, and I've said that so many times. I said, well, God, I've got a family. I've got children. Much of my other family is all gone. The only thing I know is this church and this body of Christ. I've been taught that. The body of Christ. This is the body. And this church is only a sister. It's a sister church. We're a group of people that make up the body of Christ. And we don't know where it ends. There's a lot of people out there that will still come in. So I had a fairly good vision of the body. That's making it brief. But I come to this point. I thought, I'm about to give up here. I said, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'll promise you. And I knew what it meant to rid a promise. I had been told that you make a vow to the Lord, you cannot turn back on it. Read the Bible about making a vow and find out what happens if you don't keep it. And I knew that. So I made the promise. I said, Lord, I'm going to stay in this body the rest of my life. And if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, I'm going to stay anyway. I said it out loud. I heard somebody laugh. But the next thing I know, honestly, it just broke me up when I said that. I meant it with all my heart, and I still do. The next thing I know, I was speaking in tongues. I want you to know it takes a total commitment. Does that make sense? A total commitment. This is your life. You got to have it. You got to make a commitment to God. And God's not a man to fool. He means business. But if you make it and you hold it, you keep it up. If you get weak, you get offended, you get hurt somehow, don't give up. That's God trying you. You have to look at it that way because usually it is. God wants you to be faithful no matter what troubles you do go through. It may be the problems you're going through is a trial or a test to see how faithful you mean to be. I've been through a lot of things. I've been hurt. I've been offended. And you will, if you haven't been, you will be. And you need to get yourself ready to put your brakes on and set and hold. Not just sits down and do nothing, but hold on. And get around those little those offenses. Get around it. Pray over it. Pray for them that have offended you. If somebody don't like you, pray for them. Pray for them. Get your heart right. Fill your heart with love. If you don't have it, ask God to give it to you. I've had to ask God to give me love for people. I've had to ask him to help me get over the offense and not hold any offense against them. Pray for them. You can make it. I just want to tell you, you can make it. Now I want to show you a few scriptures about the Holy Ghost. I'll be brief with it. It's 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, about in the middle of it, the 9th verse. I want to read this. You can get your Bible and read it. This is outstanding to me, pertaining to the Holy Ghost. If you want to know some scriptures that proves that you've got to have the Holy Ghost to make it, these are the verses. It was for me. The first verse is an outstanding verse to memorize anyway. It's a wonderful verse. It is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, ponder that. Ponder that. Think about it. But here's how you're going to get those things. He tells you right here. The next verse is there. Yes. But God hath revealed them unto us only by his Spirit. You gotta have the Spirit, number one. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Everybody knows about man and the ways of man, but if you're a man or a woman, that's included. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? See, that's so. Man knows about his own self in that case. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that was in him? Even so the things of God. Now, this is what we want to know. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now here's what that means in better words. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Spirit of God. The things, man which is in him, even so the things of God which knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Remember that. That we might know, and this is what you get when you got the Holy Ghost. It'll help you to know the things that are freely given to us of God. You get the Holy Ghost and you'll begin to understand more than what Brother Smith's talking about. You can read the Bible and you'll begin to understand more of the Bible. Every time you read it again, you'll get more out of it. Especially if you're praying and seeking the Lord and seeking to understand. And if you're interested in learning more about God, you should when you get the Holy Ghost. You have a greater hope then. You know you can make it. Because the Lord promises, I'm going to put it in my simple words, the Lord promises he'll help you make it. He gives you the Holy Ghost. That's the greatest gift you ever will get. It'll change your life. Excuse me. But the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see? That's what it's for. To teach you. The Holy Ghost, it said it through the Bible. It's a teacher. It teaches you how to live right. But you're going to have to sit under a ministry. You're going to have to be taught. You won't get all the understanding of the Bible unless the Holy Ghost calls you to the ministry and maybe to a teacher. We've got brethren here that have a gift. And I'm just going to give Brother Durham a compliment because I believe he's got a gift of the teacher. Just listen to him when we have Bible study in the days he's there. You can get a lot out of it from listening and understanding. The Holy Ghost will help you understand. That's wonderful. So this is the conclusion. Now we have received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're in the natural. But I appreciate what Brother Smith said today. I want to include that, of course, that he said, if you've repented, you've been saved. It's kind of like a conception, but you're not born yet. You're not born of the Spirit yet. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That means he understands. It doesn't judge it like the word seems to mean, but you look that up, the word judge means, what's the word there? I could look it up. But it means discerned. That's what it means the same thing as like comprehension. It helps you to understand. For they are foolishness unto him, the things that without the Holy Ghost, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. There's the word discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank God. I hope this helps some of you folks that if you got the Holy Ghost and you haven't spoken in tongues for too long, whatever you know, it's worthwhile seeking the Holy Ghost again. You still got it. You just are letting it starve to death. You have to feed it. What do you feed it? You come to church, you sit down, and you eat. The meat is the message and the truth of God being taught you. You improve on that. You begin to understand God's will. And what I like the most is when you begin to understand God's mercy and you realize that God He forgives you. He understands your condition and your ignorance, which you don't know yet. But when you begin to learn these things, you're going to get some inspiration out of it because the Holy Ghost will bless you. You'll learn some things about God's love and mercy to you. You'll get encouraged. You'll begin to love your brothers and sisters. You'll have an ability to forgive others because you'll get more and more of the Spirit of God working in your life. And you'll know that if you don't forgive, the Bible says God won't forgive you. God bless you all. May the Lord bless you.
It's good to be reminded every now and then. I need a refilling of the Spirit. Today, now it's a small thing, but to me it's big as I think about it. I couldn't find my car keys this morning, and I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to drive my car to church. I wasn't going to make it, but I prayed about it and I said, you know, God, help me find those keys, and I promise I'll stand up and I'll give you glory for it. And I found them. So I'm sitting back there, my heart's pounding. I'm like, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to testify about how I found my keys. Some people stand up and testify about how God gave them a great miraculous healing or did something great to improve their faith. I found my keys. I'm thankful for that because I get to come to church and I get to hear these good words about the Holy Ghost and receiving the Holy Ghost and receiving a refilling of it. I don't know if I'm the only person that does this, but I sometimes take a dictionary and I look up random words in the dictionary that I already know the meaning to, but I just get curious, huh? I might be wrong. What does the dictionary say about that word? Call me weird, but I do. And I looked up the word receive. In the dictionary, and sometimes you don't think of how complex a word is until you look at it in the dictionary and you see about 50 different definitions for it. I wasn't expecting all that, but there are so many different definitions that were in the dictionary, but essentially it boiled down to there was a difference. I'm sure I knew it, but it never really registered in my mind that there is a difference between getting something and receiving something. I can get something, and it's just, I get it. It comes into my possession. I have it. It's just given to me, and I have it. To receive something is to willingly accept into my possession. Like if you're going to receive somebody into your home, you're receiving them. You're receiving your guests. You're willingly welcoming them. And I was thinking about all the times we use the words receive. Let's go to church tonight to receive something from the Lord. Let's receive the Holy Ghost. Let's receive a blessing. And I was thinking about it at the DeCoin meeting I went to here a little while back. It was a wonderful meeting, a wonderful spirit that we felt. Like Zach said the other night, it's good to be able to be reminded you're not alone in this fight. There are other people out there that you're working, that we're all working together, and we count on each other and we lift each other up. And I was thinking, I'm not going to this meeting to get something, because God is not going to force anything on me. He is not going to force me to have something that He wants to give me. I have to go and I have to be willing to receive it, to willingly take it. If there is something new, a new revelation that I don't understand about something in the Bible, I'm not going to just go to church and get it. I'm going to receive it. I have to receive it. I have to willingly make an effort. God, I want what you want for me. And I've started praying as every service begins. I says, Lord, help me to receive what you want for me this service. Help for us to receive what you want to give us. Because we have to have a desire to take it. We're not going to just come in and sit, hallelujah, and then all of a sudden just fall out, hallelujah. That may happen in some cases, but for the most part, you have to be willing to make an effort to press in and receive and press into that spirit and feel Him. I remember it was a long time ago, but I got the Holy Ghost when I was very small, and it took. Essentially, what it took for me was to forget my pride, to forget about what everyone thought about me, and to just dedicate my life to God completely. And I was young, and it didn't mean so much to me back then as it does now. But when I did that and I let go of my pride and stopped worrying, God started touching me, and he started allowing me to feel and receive him. So I want to have that willingness to receive what he wants to give me, and to receive what he wants to show me. And if he wants me to receive a refilling of the Spirit, I want a refilling of the Spirit every now and then. It's good. And I know I have to be willing to receive that. It's not going to just happen. It's a thought. It's been on my mind. I wanted to stand and give God a praise and say it's good to be here in the house of the Lord.
Now, it's on now, isn't it? I think I had it on backwards and was pushing the button the wrong way. Anyway, it happens to you when you get older. You do things you never would have dreamed you'd done.
That's a big error.
You know. Brother McGowan said it wasn't going to get any better either. Well, you know, not everybody knows the history of Pentecostal movement. Not everybody knows that, you know, that in fact, a lot of people are taught that receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is part of just repentance and forgiveness. It's not. That's not biblical. The Bible's very plain that it's a second work of grace, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And if we had about 30 or 45 minutes, I could prove that to you with Scripture, undeniably. You couldn't deny it if I went through the Scriptures with you on it, if you're even halfway honest. But it was lost during the Dark Ages. You know, the Catholic Church lost that. They lost the truth about it. And there's still churches that don't have the truth on it. Of course, in Topeka, Kansas, in 1901, Brother Charles Parham had a little Bible school, and the people there were studying the Bible, and they come up on this subject of speaking in tongues, getting the Holy Ghost. And they began to study that. And he had to go out of town. While he was out of town, the students were studying that. And I can't remember the sister's name. We ought to have her name. Anyway, she was praying and studying about that. And she told the other rest of the group, she said, "I think God will give me this Holy Ghost if y'all will pray for it." And they prayed for her, and she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spake in other tongues. And they all saw that experience, and that began to break out among them, and then it spread. It spread down into Houston, Texas. And then, of course, if you study the history of it, Brother Seymour, he was a black preacher. He went out to Los Angeles, California, and found a little mission on Azusa Street and wound up opening that mission. There's more to the story, but just giving you brief parts of it. And that mission hall stayed open 24 hours a day for over 3 years, and everybody just about that went in there got the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it began to break out across America and started the Pentecostal movement. Here's a poem that kind of dates back to those days. Said Parson Jones to Deacon Brown, "Those holy rollers have hit the town. And if they're as bad as what I've heard, there's something awful, upon my word. I must warn my people, one and all, to stay away from that mission hall." So that very morn, ere his text he read, the parson gave warning, as he had said. He told of the dangers, great and small, that lurked, so he said, at that mission hall. Quote he, "'Tis plain to both old and young that they're demon-possessed when they talk in tongues." As the deacon plodded home that day, he pondered deeply along the way. Thought he, "If all I've heard is right, those holy rollers must be a sight. I think I'll slip down and see. I'm firm in the faith. They can't trap me." So that very evening, he couldn't wait. He slipped away through an alley gate. He kept in shadow of fence and wall, and he wound his way to that little mission hall. There he paused, impelled with fear and pride. Then mounting the steps, he went inside. Thought he to himself, "I'll set near the door, and I'll slip out ere the meeting is o'er." But thought he started again, and though he started again and again, he was there when they shouted that last amen. He went back the next night and again the next. He went so often his wife grew vexed. She said to a neighbor who happened in, "Something or other has happened to Jim. He prays every morning and he says grace so well, and he's even stopped watering down the milk that he sells. Why, he hardly seems like the same old Jim. Them rollers or something is bothering." But the good old wife didn't have long to wait till she found what was troubling her ailing mate. For that very night, so the narrative runs, the deacon came home a-talking in tongues. He shouted around till his wife exclaimed, "Deacon Brown, you're dancing. I'd be ashamed." 10 o'clock next morning, it was Sunday too, found the deacon in his old church pew, where he fidgeted around like a bashful boy as he tried to conceal his newfound joy. And before the meeting had scarce begun, he was on his feet a-talking in tongues. An exploding bomb, so witnesses say, would have caused less confusion ere that day. For with bated breath and frightened look, the church assembly sat horror-struck. Said Parson Jones to Deacon Brown, "You're out of order. Sit down. Sit down." "Yes, out of order all the while," the deacon replied, lit up with a smile. "Out of order all these years, I vow. But I've got fixed up and I'm all right now." Then come from among them, they heard him say, as he passed outside and went his way. The story soon spread, told by old and young, that Deacon Brown was a-talking in tongues. And in spite of doubt and fear and all, those church folks went down to that mission hall. And many of them who, from day to day, went with scoffing lips but remained to pray, and many of them are now spirit-free, all because Deacon Brown said, "I think I'll go see." Mm-hmm. Agnes Osman was the first little lady that we know of in Topeka, Kansas, that got the Holy Ghost there in Brother Charles Parham's school. Agnes Osman. O-S-M-O-N-D, I believe. Does that sound right, Brother Phil? O-Z-M-A-N. Osman. O-Z-M-A-N. January 1st, 1901. Right on time. Started out the new year.
Ever it takes.
a good time to come up and get prayed for. If you feel like you need a renewing in the Holy Ghost, or if you need the Holy Ghost, you know, it'd be a good time right here. Just say, God, let me. I encourage people this way. Every opportunity you get for God to touch your life, and get a little closer to Him. Get in on that. And let the Lord begin to work in your life. Surely you need a little more of Him. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, or if you've got it and you hadn't yielded over to it in a long time, services like this is where you can get that touch, get that renewal, or receive the Holy Ghost. So if you want the brethren to pray for you, just slip out of your seat and come on up front and let God touch you tonight while they sing this song over some more. Hallelujah.
Lord, whatever.
Brother Mark and Sister Sherry, you know, she was a Methodist girl, and of course he came up and was in this way, and of course they kind of fell for each other, but he wanted her to have the Holy Ghost. He knew she needed it. He knew what it did for him. So he started bringing her to church, and she loved him enough that I guess she thought, well, if I got to have it to have you, I'll just try to see whatever I can do to get it. It didn't take her very long. She wasn't there about 2 or 3 weeks. She got the Holy Ghost. Really got a blessing. I was thinking about that tonight. And then Andrew, before he moved down here, he got out of church at this Catholic girl and got to dating her and really fell in love with her, really. And then finally, I don't know why, he kind of, you know, felt, I guess he got under such conviction, he felt like he needed to get back in church. He brought her with him to church. Well, we had a service like this, and we just all got around her and got her up front and went to praying for her. I can't remember if she got the Holy Ghost that very night, I think. I don't think she she didn't get very far. She didn't even go 2 weeks. She was just tender, and God gave her the Holy Ghost. And of course, sometime after that, she was in a car wreck and was killed. And so, but I've thought many a time how much I appreciated the fact that what God did before her, before she lost her life at such a young age. And you know, it's a serious thing when you get involved with one of God's children. You get involved with what God's working in somebody's life, in God's plan and in His order. It's a serious thing. I never will know, I don't guess, if God had to take her out of the way because she would have hindered him, or if it was just written in the book, you know. But you always have to consider God when things like that happen. But anyway, He's a merciful God. He loves His children. He wants to save all of us. He's after our souls. His whole creation was for this very purpose, to lift us up and reconcile us back to Himself according to His will and His purpose. He's not really so much interested in your purpose, your will, what you're thinking about. He's got a much better plan for you. So, Brother Anthony, he's still feeling it pretty good here. I think this is the best touch. He's really got a good touch here tonight. And had stammering lips, and I don't know, he may have spoke a few words in tongues, but I was telling Brother Durham, in the Dominican Republic, I've learned something new about the Holy Ghost. They didn't know enough about it to put as much emphasis on it as I was putting on it when I first went over there. But they loved the Spirit. They loved the feeling of it. When the Spirit would move, they'd get in it, but they wasn't necessarily trying to get the Holy Ghost. But they would, you know, but some of them would get it anyway. You know, the Spirit would move, and they'd get in and get blessed, and before you know it, they're speaking in tongues. I started watching that, and I started realizing that, you know, you don't have to just push somebody, you know, and pray for them for hours and hours. They'll eventually get it. If they keep coming and they love the Spirit of God and it's available, they'll get it. The thing for them to do is just keep keep getting in. When the water starts moving, get in it. You know, that's what I try to encourage them to do. But some of them, in fact, some of them, even right now, has been in some of the churches over there 3 or 4 or 5 years. They still don't have the Holy Ghost. And we've taught on it, and but they all eventually get it if they stay around. You know, they get it. And of course, when the Spirit starts touching them, you can see the Spirit's really touching them. That's when you midwives need to go to work. And you know, even us men that are midwives, we got to turn into child bearers at that time, you know. But because I'm like Sister Crow, I love to see babies born. Holy Ghost babies they're just as pretty as a little newborn baby, I think. Anyway, it's been a good day, hasn't it? Praise God. Well, the choir learned a new song. I was